Let's stand up and praise the Lord together. This song is going to wake us up to worship the Lord. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
this morning. Oh, we magnify your name this morning, Lord. Oh, we make you greater than all. Thank you.
continue to worship you. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, we bless and honor your holy name. Lord Jesus, we extol and magnify your name. Your name is above every other name. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that you are Lord to the glory of God the Father. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's linger in his presence a little while. Praise God. The Lord said to me in prayer years ago, he said, I was kind of fidgety in prayer, wanting to hurry up and do my time so I could get out and go run my errands, you know. Anybody understand what I'm talking about? And the Lord said to me, son, you want to get out and go run your errands, don't you? I said, well, yeah, I was thinking along that line. He said, you think your life is not going forward unless you're running your errands and about being busy, don't you? I said, well, yeah. He said, you think your life is kind of on hold when you're in my presence, and then when you get out, then it starts moving again. I said, well, that's kind of the way I was thinking. But he said this to me. If you listen and say amen. He said, son, when you're spending time with me, your life is moving forward at a faster pace than it is at any other time. Glory to God. So time spent in his presence, time spent in his word. Woo! Time worshiping him, glory to God, is time well spent. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Why don't you close your eyes and lift your hands? Let's linger in his presence. We don't want to hurry him. We don't want to hurry his things. Glory to God. Oh, Father, we gather here together in the name of Jesus. And Father, we want to spend a few moments really thanking you, really worshiping you. Glory to God. Really fellowshipping with you. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We worship you. Lord, we worship you. Sing the song. I magnify your name. Sing it to him. Magnify your name, glorify your name, and I worship you. I worship you. We love you, Lord. I worship you. Hallelujah. Magnify your name, I glorify your name, and I worship you. I worship you. Lord, I worship you. Shut everything else out. Sing it again. Hallelujah. I Father, we thank you for the privilege of access to you. Thank you. Thank you, Father, that we can come into the heavenly holy of holies any time of the day or night and fellowship with you, commune with you, speak to you, have you speak to us. Glory to God. Father, these are things that no amount of money could buy. Help us to value them appropriately. Glory to God. Why don't you just tell the Lord in your own words, in your own heart, just say, Father, I love you in Jesus' name. He's looking at you. He's listening to you. Father, we love you. We thank you for everything. Every good gift and every perfect gift. Most of all, for Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you for adopting us into your family. Thank you, Lord, that forever, glory to God, we'll worship and praise and extol your holy name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're so grateful, Father. We owe you everything. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's sing it one more time. Sing it to him. Sing, we magnify. We glorify your name, we glorify your name, and we worship you. Hallelujah! We worship you. We worship you. We magnify your name, we glorify your name, and we worship you. We love you, Father. We worship you, Lord. We worship you. And Father, we just as we proceed now, we just ask your help. We don't take you for granted. We acknowledge our entire dependence upon you. Thank you that you will never fail your people. When they seek you, when we seek you, when we draw near to you, you draw near to us. Hallelujah. We ask you for utterance for me, Father, for ears to hear and hearts to receive for all of us. We invite you, Father, to do and say whatever you want to do and say. In the precious name of Jesus, get glory to yourself. We call it all done by faith in Jesus' name. And the church said amen. Praise God. Well, why don't you greet somebody? Tell him hello in Jesus' name. We'll be seated in his presence. Lord, I worship you. Glory to God. Glory to God. Bless the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise his holy name. Hallelujah. Let's make a couple of confessions. Say this with me. I've got the Spirit of God within. I've got the Spirit of God upon me. I've got angels around me. I've got the blessing of the Lord on me. I've got His favor in my life. Doors will be open that no man can close. Doors will be shut that no man can open. If someone would open a door to do something against you, the Lord will shut that and they'll not be able to open. Let's say this together. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Glory to God. You know, actually and truly, he that's against you, God's against that person. That's part of the blessing of Abraham. He said, I'll bless who blesses you, and I'll curse who curses you. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. He's on our side. Amen. Yes. Glory to God. We can't lose. We can't lose. The Lord ministered to me from Psalm 23 several years back in a way that he never had before. And it was simply this. He said, son, if I'm truly your shepherd, and you're truly my sheep, he said, you got it made. I thought about that for a minute, and I said, well, that would be right. Hallelujah. Is he your shepherd? Are you his sheep? You got it made. The Lord is my shepherd. Most of my needs will be met. I shall not want. I shall not want for any good thing. I shall not want for healing. I shall not want for financial provision. I shall not want for friends. Glory to God. I shall not want for usefulness. Praise God. We're not taking up space down here. Glory to God. We're getting something accomplished for Jesus. Praise God. The devil will try to tell us our life doesn't matter. What a liar. Amen? Glory to God. You matter. Praise God. Do you matter? Jesus came down here to get you. Hallelujah. That's how much you matter. Don't aggravate me this morning. Praise God. Glory to God. Let's go back to John's Gospel, please. Chapter 13. Praise the Lord. And we want to talk I was going to say final time, but it might not be. On the subject, as I have loved you. Praise God. John's Gospel, chapter 13. Like Brother Moore says, your Bible ought to just about fall open there by now. Verse 34, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you. That's the newness of it. The example of Jesus. The no holds barred, no reservations, no limit, no ceiling kind of love. Not 70 times 7. Unlimited. Amen. Praise God. You know, I asked the Lord one time, some person was, I forget who it was or what they were doing, but they were being a challenge to my Christian love, you know. And I was talking to the Lord about it, and sometimes we can get the idea that because someone is treating us wrong, then we have some kind of a right or a justification to retaliate or to have a bad opinion about them, or, you know, to treat them in a similar manner. But that's not the love of God. That's not loving as He loved us.
Loving as he loved us, is no matter what someone does against us, we still love them and do good for them and pray for them and not have ill feelings or thoughts toward them. Praise God. And I was asking the Lord, I said, this guy, how gracious do you want me to be with this guy? And the Lord said, well, just be as gracious with him as I've been with you. I said, well, there goes the ceiling right there. Verse 35, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, I would say this, that every believer has some love. Somebody say some love. You know, if the Spirit of God comes in, He's God, and God is love, so we have some love in us. Hallelujah. But is it our dominant quality? Is it our dominant quality? Is it our dominant pursuit? Amen? Yeah. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you have love. Praise God. Now let's go over to Romans. Book of Romans, chapter 15. Glory to God. Can we dig around in the Word a little bit? Praise the Lord. The Word is life to those that find it and health to all their flesh. Praise God. Somebody say, I believe that.
I believe
praise
that.
God. Hallelujah. Let's say this together. The Word of God, is health to my flesh. Glory to God. All my flesh. You know, from head to toe, all my flesh, the Word of God is health to all my flesh. My heart, my kidneys, my intestines, my pea brain, it's even health to that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's read a portion here of Romans chapter 15, and then we'll go and get some background for it. Verse 1. We then that are strong ought to criticize the weak. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak. Does this sound like love?
Yeah.
Well, if you consider yourself strong, you've got a task to do right here. Amen? Mr. Strong Man, Miss Strong Woman, if you're strong, bear the infirmities of the weak. And we know from the spirit of the gospel in the New Testament and other teaching in the New Testament, it doesn't just mean to, what's the word I'm looking for? Reluctantly put up with them. Just because they're there. And I have to be nice to them because, you know, I'm a Christian. No, it means to bear with them in the Spirit of Christ. Glory to God. In a spirit of self-sacrifice. In a willing spirit. Paul said, I will therefore gladly spend and be spent for you. Though the more I love you, the less you love me. He said, how you love me is not going to affect how I love you. He said, I'll gladly spend and be spent for you, to minister to you, to pray for you. Glory to God. That's the kind of spirit we're talking about. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves, or not just to think about ourselves, not just to think about our preferences, not just think about how this dealing with this weak person and helping with this weak person is using up my time. Amen. Verse 2. Let every one of us, somebody say every one of us. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. Now, I'll be honest with you, I don't know where all these lines should be drawn, so I can't tell you. But we're looking at a very, very high standard of love and interaction with believers, aren't we? Verse 3, for even Christ, so he's our example in all this, as he loved us. Even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. He suffered indignity for us. Amen. Verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. We shouldn't ever get too far away from our Old Testament. It is written for our learning. Hallelujah. That we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. In their day, at the writing of Romans, all they had was the Old Testament and maybe a couple of letters written to the church. And so that was their scripture. And he said the Old Testament would give us patience and comfort and hope. Hallelujah. Verse 5. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus. In other words, think about each other as Jesus thought about you. Be like-minded according to Christ Jesus, or like Jesus. Here again, our example is Jesus. Verse 6, that you may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, receive ye one another, as Christ also received us. Here again, Jesus is our example. You see this over and over again, Jesus being pointed out as our example, our standard. Praise God. Hallelujah. So he said, receive ye one another. What does that mean? It means to accept one another into our fellowship, into our friendship, into our affection. Glory to God. Don't be standoffish. Don't be disinterested in your brother and sister. That's not the love of God. Amen. Receive one another. Glory to God. As Christ also received us. I'm so glad Jesus received me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad he received you? Praise God. And I wasn't much. I wasn't much to have, but he received me anyway. I mean, I was a pathetic excuse for a human being, and I'm using my words advisedly. But I got to the end of my rope, and I called out to him, and he received me. He received me and admitted me into all of the privileges that he offers anyone else. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, receive ye one another. Let's go to chapter 14 here. And let's get into a little explanation here. Glory to God. Are you willing to let the Holy Spirit deal with any pet ideas you might have that aren't necessarily in line with the Word? Praise God. How many are willing? Say, I'm willing, Lord. Praise God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know that the Scripture is given to renew our minds. What does that mean? That means to get out all that old way of thinking and replace it with a new way of thinking. Praise God. Chapter 14 and verse 1. Him that is weak, remember chapter 15, bear the infirmities of the weak. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye. Praise God. What would a person weak in the faith look like? Well, it would be somebody that's afraid, you know, that maybe their bills aren't going to be paid on time, and they're nervous, and they're asking you to pray, and they're just weak. That's not technically what's being said here. We'll get to the technicality of it in a minute, but it can be applied that way. We shouldn't be going around, you know, correcting each other. The Lord said to Brother Copeland something real interesting years and years ago. Brother Copeland said the Lord told him, one of the main problems with my people is that they are bent on correcting one another. And the Lord doesn't want that. He's the pruner. Amen? He's the pruner. The fivefold ministry gifts are given for the edification of the church. Amen. Let Brother Keith correct who you think needs correcting, or the Lord through Brother Keith. Anybody ever been corrected through Brother Keith's teaching? Hallelujah. Him that is weak in the faith, receive ye. Don't correct him on his confession. Don't tell him he shouldn't be saying that, or he shouldn't be thinking like that, or feeling like that. Praise God. Hallelujah. Receive him in the love of God. But not to doubtful disputations. Now, the church at Rome was comprised of Jews and Gentiles. And this is what the Apostle Paul is dealing with here in the 14th chapter and the 15th. Some of the troubles that the Jews and the Gentiles in the church at Rome were having getting along with each other. Verse 2. For one believes that he may eat all things, that would be a Gentile. The Gentiles had no scruples about diet. The Jews had all kinds of scruples about diet. things they shouldn't eat, meats they shouldn't eat. I don't think the Jews were allowed to eat crawfish. I wouldn't be a good Jew, praise God. I like crawfish, praise God. I don't think they were allowed to eat catfish either. Anybody in here like catfish? Praise God. Well, the Jews here in the church at Rome, they would have faulted us if they sat across the table from us and we were eating a catfish, you know, dinner. They would have a problem with that. So the one that believes he could eat all things, that's those were the Gentile believers. And another who is weak, notice that. He said the weak one eats herbs. That's the vegetarian. That's the one that has all these scruples about diet. Paul said that's a weakness. God said that's a weakness. Now, not that we, you know, should eat three double cheeseburgers every day of our life. You know, common sense will dictate a lot of what is appropriate in diet. Amen? As far as quality and quantity. Just common sense. I weigh about 185. That's my right weight for my height and my little skinny frame. 185. If I had a larger boned frame, it would be more. But 185. And a couple of years ago, I got on the scale and I was 206. I said, what? I said, No, we ain't getting a whole new wardrobe, glory to God. And so I just dropped back down to 185. But here you've got Gentiles and Jews, and they're disagreeing over what can be eaten and what can't be eaten. The Gentiles had no scruples whatever. They didn't ask questions. When they sat down to a steak, they didn't say, has this been offered in sacrifice to an idol? They just ate. The Jews, on the other hand, had these sensitive scruples that hung them up. Verse 3. Let not him that eats, let not the Gentile despise his Jewish brother in Christ that won't eat meat. And let not him which eateth not, let not the Jewish brother judge his Gentile brother when he's eaten his steak. For God hath done what? Y'all looking at it? Verse 3. For God hath what? Received him. God has received him. He's a son of God. He's an heir of God. Even if you don't agree with that steak he's eating, he's an heir of God. He's royalty. Hallelujah. Even if you don't agree with your brother that has all these scruples about his diet, he's there picking at his little salad with, you know, a dressing on it with no fat and eating glucose-free whatever. You don't agree with all that, but God has received him. Hallelujah. God has received him. Verse 4. Who art thou that judgest another man's servant? Boy, this is weighty, isn't it? Wow. You know, Romans, the book of Romans has been called the Christian Constitution. And it has more theology in it than any other book of the New Testament. This is heavy duty. Who are you? Who are you that judges another believer? What gives us the right? We don't have a right. To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holding up. Don't you like that? I like that King James language. He shall be holding up, for God is able to make him stand. Now, verse 5. Then he goes from diet to recognizing certain days of the year, which the Jews did a lot, you know. One man esteemeth one day above another. That was the Jews. They esteemed, you know, Passover and Day of Atonement and Feast of Trumpets and Feast of Weeks and Feast of Tabernacles. They, a good Jewish Christian, still many times had regard, high regard for all that stuff, which technically had been done away with and was finished. But they still clung to it. And, you know, it's that way a lot of times with old ideas that are not scriptural. If they've been with us for a long time, if those ideas have been with us for a long time, sometimes it's just hard to let them go, you know. And so they still had regard to all those days. And another, the Gentiles, esteem every day alike. Really, every day is God's day. Amen? Hallelujah. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. Praise God. Verse 6, he that regards the day regards it unto the Lord, and he that regardeth not the day, to the Lord he doth not regard it. He that eateth, eateth to the Lord, for he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not meat, to the Lord he eateth not, and giveth God thanks. Praise God. Look at verse 7. For none of us, somebody say none of us. None of us lives to himself, and no man dies to himself. Verse 8 explains, for whether we live unto the Lord. Whether we die unto the Lord. In other words, we don't live unto ourselves. We don't live just to pursue the things in life that we prefer. We don't live to pursue the American dream. We live to the Lord. We live according to His will. We go where He says go. May I have an amen? Amen? We stay where He says stay. Glory to God. I tell you what, they'd have to fire me to get me to leave here. I mean, they'd have to run me off. Praise God. Amen. I like the company I run with. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. But we don't live to ourselves. No man dies to himself. Praise God. Let me read this to you with another little shade of meaning from Bible and Basic English. Every man's life and every man's death has a relation to others as well as to himself. Amen. My life affects other people. My attitude affects other people. My love affects other people. My faith affects other people. I'm not just out here living life having no influence. All of our lives have relation and influence on other people. Praise God. Hallelujah. No man lives only to himself. Praise God. Verse 9. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. Lord. Lord. We do what he says. Praise God. Verse 10. But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you set at naught your brother? Oh, he's just, all he eats is that salad. I tell you what. He's just not too bright. No, don't set him at naught. For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Praise God. You know, when I first got saved, the only Christian people I knew that I was pretty sure were Christians were my best friend's parents. They were good Catholics. Oscar and Mary Buris. Hallelujah. I'll look forward to seeing them over there. But so when I got saved, I said, well, I'm a Christian now, so I've got to find some Christian people to hang out with. So I went and I started spending a lot of time with Oscar and Mary. Hallelujah. I was 22. They were probably in their mid-60s. And maybe not quite that. Oh, maybe late 50s, something like that. Anyway, I'd go hang out with Oscar and Mary. Praise God. And they were Catholics. They were charismatic Catholics. You know what that is, right? These are Catholics that are really born again, filled with the Holy Ghost, speak in tongues, pray for the sick, and actually read the Bible a little bit. Hallelujah. But so I started hanging out with Oscar and Mary. Praise God. And we'd fellowship over the things of God. I didn't have anybody else to talk to. Couldn't talk to my parents. They weren't saved. Couldn't talk to my brother. He wasn't saved. Couldn't talk to any of the friends I was running with. None of them were saved. Far from it. And so I started going with Oscar and Mary to a Friday night prayer meeting, a Catholic charismatic prayer meeting. And I don't know why they called it a prayer meeting. We didn't do a whole lot of praying, but anyway, that's what they called it. And so we'd start out, there was a little music group up there, and we'd sing some praise songs, you know, and these beautiful charismatic Catholics would lift their hands and they'd sing and just love the Lord, you know. And usually there was a time after the praise and worship, after that last song, where they would all start singing in the Holy Spirit, you know, singing in tongues. And I didn't speak in tongues. That was brand new to me. I didn't know there was such a thing as speaking in tongues when I got saved. And so I would stand there and I would listen to these couple of hundred Catholic charismatics singing in tongues. And I didn't know what it was, But I just knew it was holy. It was something heavenly. And I didn't want them to stop. And when it finally scaled down and came to an end, I was kind of like, well, there's always next week. Hallelujah. So after some time, they wanted me in that little music group to play guitar. And so I got in the music group and started playing guitar. And Sally Landry was in that music group. Hallelujah. So I went to that prayer meeting for, I guess, a year and a half. But I was always in the Word. I was always in the Word. I had a conviction from the get-go that a believer reads the Bible every day. I got that from my grandfather. He was really the only Christian I knew, you know, but he wasn't in town. He lived in Florida, so I couldn't go fellowship with him. But he had read the Bible through 42 times from front to back, and I thought, surely that must be the world record of any human being ever. But I've since found out a minister of the gospel that he's in heaven now, George Evans, he read the Bible through once every 30 days. But anyway, so I got this idea from my grandfather that if you're a Christian, you read the Bible every day. So as soon as I got saved, I started reading the Bible every day. Amen. And I, you know, I decided I liked it, so I never have quit. Hallelujah. Amen. But anyway, after about a year, I started seeing in the Word. Now remember, I didn't know anything when I got saved. After about a year and a half, I started seeing some things in the Word that disagreed with a lot of what the charismatic Catholics were believing. Like the Jew and the Gentile in Rome, differing beliefs. And I said, wait a minute. Jesus said, don't pray repetitiously. And here we, the Catholics, just, you know, pray. I hope it doesn't offend you that I'm talking about the Catholics. I'm not talking against them. I loved them with all my heart, you know, not talking against them. But if something's unscriptural, it's unscriptural, no matter who's doing it. It could be word of faith people doing it. If it's unscriptural, it's unscriptural. And so they're praying repetitiously, you know. Just from memory, you know. Praying all these different repetitious prayers. And I said, that's not in line with the Word here. And then they went to a man to confess their sins. And I said, well, that's not, I don't see that in the Word either. And they prayed the saints. And I said, well, I don't see that in the Word either. You know. And so the mistake that I made was that I let their differing beliefs negatively affect my fellowship with them. I did the opposite of what Paul is saying here. Receive them. Praise God. Amen. Our differing beliefs don't have to cut off our fellowship with us. Are you listening? Amen. You know, there's no verse in the New Testament, that there's not even a suggestion in the New Testament that we should separate from a Christian brother or sister or group because of a different doctrinal belief. There's no suggestion in the New Testament whatsoever to that end. But we have allowed different doctrines to separate us, haven't we? Into factions. But the Lord will fix all that. Hallelujah. He's working on it. Praise God. But that's what he's talking about here in these few verses that we just read. That we just all need to live for Jesus to the best of our knowledge. Amen. We're born again. We're saved. We're family. We're eternal family with every other born again person. Praise God. Hallelujah. Verse 11. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Let us not therefore judge one another any more. I judged my charismatic Catholic brothers kind of uninformed and lame because of their beliefs. And I wasn't really interested in fellowshipping with them too much anymore because they were off base. Huge mistake in the area of love. Amen? Remember back in, I believe it was 1981 when they said that Mother Mary supposedly appeared in Medjugorje over there in Eastern Europe, Bosnia, Herzegovina. And it was a worldwide. Anybody remember that? Medjugorje? And people, supposedly the Mother Mary had appeared to some young girl and given her a message for the world. And people were taking pilgrimages over to Medjugorje to go to this town and see this girl and go to the place where it happened and have a spiritual experience. People were going over there by the millions and millions and millions. And some of these people from the prayer meeting that I had started out my walk with the Lord in, they were going over there. And I was just shaking my head, you know. But we don't need to let differing beliefs separate us. May I have an amen? Glory to God. Verse 13, let us not therefore judge one another anymore. I did it in the past. I won't do it anymore. Praise God. But judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. In other words, I shouldn't do anything that would cause my brother to be offended. Amen? Or upset him to the best of my ability. In other words, if I know he's, you know, has real strong scruples about diet, I don't need to go sit in the cafeteria, slide my plate across from his and start eating my steak. If I know he doesn't believe in that. Amen. Is that all right? Amen. Praise God. And you know, on the other hand, if somebody's sitting there eating their steak and you believe in just eating salad or whatever, you don't need to go over there and put your chef's salad in front of them and start criticizing them and telling them they're wrong for eating a steak. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's hold your place here and let's go over to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy, the 4th chapter. Glory to God. Can these type of things really separate believers? Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1. Now the Spirit speaks expressly or clearly and definitely that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Ooh, does the devil have doctrines he wants to foist on us? Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry. These are some of the false doctrines. Forbidding to marry. Forbidding to marry. And commanding to abstain from meats. Paul said this is a false doctrine. Commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature, somebody say every creature. Every creature of God, crawfish, crabs, shrimp, hallelujah, catfish, glory to God. Every creature of God is good. And nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. That's a sanctified crawfish. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's go back over to Romans 14. Verse 14. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteems anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. If your conscience says it's wrong, if you feel like it's wrong to eat a steak, don't eat a steak. Live by your conscience. Amen. Do what allows you to have peace and no qualms in your conscience. Praise God. Is this all right today? Verse 15. But if your brother be grieved with your meat, now walkest thou not charitably. You're eating your steak in front of that brother or sister, and you know they strongly disagree with that, and it's upsetting to them. You're not walking in love to eat it in front of them. Destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. Your good, which is the truth that all meats are acceptable in the sight of God, that's your good, and you're free to enjoy steak or whatever it might be, every creature of God. Let not that good belief and practice that you have based in the gospel be evil spoken of by sitting in front of someone that is disturbed by that, and now you're not walking in love. Let not your good be evil spoken of. And that person that believes in only salad gets up and goes and tells their fellow vegetarian, You know that brother Jody, he came and sat down. He knows how I feel, and he ate that steak right there by me. Amen. Verse 17, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It doesn't matter so much what we believe about diet. I tell you, in America, diet has become a religion. And exercise has become a religion. And if you don't have a workout routine, you're just irresponsible and unwise. And if you don't maintain your diet with the latest scientific findings, you're not wise. But the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. It doesn't matter that much. But righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things, righteousness and peace and joy, he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. It doesn't make for peace to squabble over diet and exercise. Does it? That doesn't make for peace. Verse 20. For meat, destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eats with offense. If someone's offended by my eating, then I'm not walking in love. Verse 21, it is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth or is offended or is made weak. It's good not to do that. Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's it for today. Let's stand together. Receive one another. Joyce, would you guys come back, please? Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. We want to walk in love. May I have an amen? Praise God. Let's stand together. Hallelujah. Well, say it with me. The Lord is good, and His mercy endures forever. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God. Glory to God. Well, let me wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year if I don't see you in church this weekend. And then Sally and I are going down to New Orleans to get some of those crawfish. Hallelujah. Praise God. And probably some fish too. Hallelujah. Pray. I don't know if it's kosher or not, but we're going to eat it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God is so good. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands to Him one time before we go. Praise God. Father, we thank You in the name of Jesus. Thank You for directing us, instructing us, and teaching us, Father, in the way we should go, in the way we should love one another. Hallelujah. With no reservations, Father, in the name of Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. If it's your heart for Him to fill you afresh with His love, just go ahead and ask Him about that. Ask Him to do it. Glory to God. Talk to Him about it. Father, fill us afresh with Your love in the name of Jesus. Father, let love, Your love, be the dominant quality of our lives in the precious name of Jesus. Glory to God.
Father, may our unbelieving neighbors say of us, I don't necessarily agree with what they believe, but I tell you what, they walk in some kind of love. Hallelujah. Glory to God. This is our desire, Father, in the precious name of Jesus. We thank you for helping us in it. And the church said, amen. Praise God. They're going to play something. We are dismissed. God bless you.
Beloved, let us love one another.